Coming up in the next half hour, we have Josh Kennedy, Swans champion, to preview Gather Round in around 10 minutes' time. Jared Duffy not too far away as well. Just in the Premier League this morning, we've got Manchester City and Aston Villa in stoppage time. And, gee, City have just hit the post, but they've well and truly pulled away with this one. They're up 4-1 in the 93rd minute now. 4-1 City leading this match this morning. The other two completed matches this morning, Arsenal beat Luton 2-0. Brentford and Brighton has finished scoreless. Liverpool in action tomorrow against Sheffield United, the bottom team who are going down. Chelsea and Manchester United to play at Stamford Bridge tomorrow. I'm going to have a piece of the $4 for the draw in that game tomorrow. That's a big price. Mm.
That's a good result for Tottenham, isn't it? With the Aston Villa going down 4-1.
It is, because it means even though Tottenham drew yesterday to West Ham, they've pulled 1 point closer, but Tottenham have a game in hand of Villa.
Yeah, and now they've got a better for and against too, I think, in terms of goals.
You're probably right. 18, yeah, you're right. Against, they're plus right? 18 in the goal difference, and as it stands, Villa are plus 17. Look at you, Loz.
Oh, I'm all over it, mate.
Absolutely.
In Ange, we trust.
You've always been a Spurs fan,
always.
Haven't you?
Always. Mm. When Harry Kane was putting him in the back of the net, mate.
Right, okay. What, you going to go back to...
No, I don't go back any further.
And, no?
No, don't like looking back in the past, mate. It's all about looking forward into the future.
You and Ange.
That's why I got over Harry Kane pretty quickly.
Cool.
Richarlison.
Yep.
Richarlison.
Yep.
Yeah, he's a good player. Mm. We've got plenty of guns, mate, but we need to build a bit more depth in our squad if we're going to compete with the likes of Liverpool and Man City.
Yeah. I suppose you used to go to White Hart Lane in the glory days.
No, never been. Mm. Never been. Been to some of the older grounds. Old Trafford. all those old venues, Mitter.
Kangaroo Tour, surely you used to get to some of the games, though, did you?
Yeah, went to Man United. Mm. Went and watched a couple of games. Leeds United, when they were flying, Harry Kewell was playing there. That's a good little venue, actually.
Ellen Road.
It's right on top of you. Mm.
And you, because he played there as well, didn't he? Played third test in 1990 was at Ellen Road.
Yeah, I think,
won the series.
I think 94 was there too.
Yeah.
But just loud. Mm. A bit like Comm Stadium. The noise stays within the ground. But yeah, no, Tottenham, they're going okay. Although we had a tough draw to finish the year.
As far as the races are concerned for Saturday, a reminder, all those fields out for day one of the championships. And, we had the four group ones come out on Tuesday and the barrier draws there. So yesterday, the New Haven Park Country Championships final, can't wait for it as well. It's race five on the card to jump at 2:45. On Saturday at Royal Randwick, and we saw Bandy's Boy win the Star Kingdom the other day. What a tune-up that was at Rosehill Gardens for the big one on Saturday. And it's come up $2.50 final field inside gate. Jay Ford to ride for Denny Williams.
Also, in some doubt,
what
Bandy's Boy.
Is that right? I haven't read that, Loz.
I'm pretty sure I read... Pulled up lame after last weekend's win.
Okay.
I don't think I'm making that up. Can you please look on your computer while I just waffle away here? Because I'm sure I was watching, might have been Anthony Manton on Sky yesterday, and he mentioned that there was a couple of horses.
Okay, I'm reading favourite in doubt for country championships final here, courtesy of Jet Hatton on RaceNet.
Right.
Denny Williams revealed the gelding inspect by vets, Racing New South Wales vets, Tuesday. Need to be examined again on Friday before being cleared to run. Yes, Denny Williams posted this on X or Twitter. So it was found to exhibit some mild lameness in the near four, which appears to be an abscess coming through. So that would certainly put him in doubt. Okay, so look at you, Lots. You're all over everything this morning. But Denny says, we're happy with the horse and the progress of his treatment. and are confident he's on track to take his place in the final. So it's just one of those ones. So the Vets will have a look tomorrow. So there you go. So just keep an eye on Bandy's boy. But the market has it the $2.50 favourite as it stands. The other market watching closely heading towards Saturday is the Derby, the ATC Australian Derby, which will be race 9 at 5:15. There was a period yesterday where Zardozi, the filly, going up against the boys here and off the quick backup, Zardozi was a favourite for a period there yesterday. Got into 3:20. Riff Rocket got out, but Riff Rocket is now back at favourite at $3.10 currently, with Tab has drawn barrier 10, 10 of 14, and Zardozi $3.60, which will jump from barrier 2. So just keeping an eye on that market. Tom Kitten, $7.50. Y-Mark as well, $8 there. There's been money for Cho Wolf, for Joe Pride. Each way support, $10 for that Derby market. We'll keep an eye on that. And joining us is Jared Duffy. Jared, a very good morning to you.
Morning, Mido.
Let's start with the NRL tonight. Where's the money for the Storm and the Bronx?
Well, there's plenty of money for Brisbane at a price, $2.65. That's in from $2.75 last night. Maybe just due to the fact that Cameron Munster, there's still a little doubt whether he lines up or, of course, if he does, how many minutes he plays. So that's keeping the Broncos in the betting. Melbourne Storm are the favourites, so price-wise, $1.48. That plus 6.5 for Brisbane, it's still 6.5, but it's into 185, and the minus for Storm, $1.95. So it will be interesting to see who lines up, but more importantly, how long they play for.
What about tomorrow night's game, Staff? Bulldogs taking on the Roosters, Knights taking on the Dragons. A lot of rain around Sydney and Newcastle.
Yeah, Bulldogs are getting out win-wise, so head-to-head-wise here, Loz. They're $3.90. The Roosters, $1.26. The line hasn't moved. It's still 10.5 points, and there has been a bit of interest in the Bulldogs at the plus. In the other one tomorrow night, Newcastle, they got into $1.40 at one stage from $1.45, just edging back out to $1.42. The Dragons, $2.90, and a pretty competitive line there where we're actually seeing money both ways. That's $1.90, take your pick, plus or minus 7.5.
Gather round starts tonight, and well, it's getting towards desperate times for the Adelaide Crows. They're under pressure and up against a very good side in Melbourne tonight.
They are, and some more bad news for the Crows, where Stephen May was named fit to start for Melbourne. So $1.58 into $1.55, Adelaide $2.45. The line seems rather low, given they're a $2.45 pop. It's 8.5, and there has been some interest in the Crows at that particular line. So not much line-wise, but head-to-head money with Melbourne.
Is there anything being backed in the Group 1s this weekend, Daff? And if it has, I'm sure they've got wet track form behind them.
Yeah, well, I guess that's the other thing too, Loz. We just don't know how much rain's coming or what impact it will have. You mentioned Lady of Camelot there before. She's been 6-4. Storm Boy still at 250 to win that English size. Another Will in the Doncaster Open post barrier draw at 4:20. It's into $3.70. And the other one Mido touched on, Zardozi. Yes, there wasn't much between Riff Rocket and Zardozi at one stage yesterday, but she's clearly been the best back, $4.50 into $3.60. Most of the other markets normally by this stage, you know, we've had a few that have been crunched right in on the support program, but it hasn't really happened yet.
What do you like with everything being equal at the moment?
Oh, gee, it's hard not to be impressed with another Will. And I thought Lady of Camelot was a good price at the $6. She seems sort of bulletproof, so I missed the price, so I won't be having a play now, but wait and see what the weather produces, more importantly.
It's a Doncaster. We'll be hunting value, Loz. I know I'll be looking at horses around $20 and hoping.
I don't know. Magic Time, what price?
In the TJ.
Yeah, in the TJ.
Magic Time is $15.420 the place.
It's shortened up a little bit. It was $26 in the openers.
Well, you got a bit of a word around.
I'm just saying, a bit of a word around. That's all.
Just throwing that out
just
there.
Just throwing it out there.
Okay.
Has it got any wet track form? Do we know?
Well, I'll come back to you.
Come back.
We should ask you. You sound like you
I just keep my ear to the ground, Daff. I've got tentacles out everywhere.
Clearly.
You know, I'd like to listen
Two runs on heavy tracks, magic time for a win in a third. So
that sounds okay.
There you go. Never run on a, well, it won't be a soft track if we get this rain.
Fair enough.
So there you go.
What else have we got in DAF this weekend?
This weekend, we've only got four matches in Super Rugby, so I'll just quickly whip through those. It's a doubleheader Friday. The Blues $1.04. The Western Force $10.23.5 the line. The Rebels are favourite. Always dangerous when the Rebels are favourite. They're $1.70. Fijian drew a $2.10. That line 2.5 points. And then Saturday, the Chiefs are $1.01 against Moana Pacifica at 14. Big number there, 28.5 points. And the Brumbies are pretty short to beat the Waratahs. $1.28, the Brumbies. The Waratahs, $3.60. And that line is 9.5 points. And the Brumbies, they've entered single figures to win the title now. They're $8 with the Chiefs still the faves at $2.75, just ahead of the Blues at $3.
NBA today, and pretty much all clubs have 6 or 7 games to go before the playoffs or the end of their seasons.
Yeah, there's a couple of moves here. In the first one, at 10-10, Charlotte were 173, Portland were 215. Well, it's each of two now, $1.92, take your pick. Gee, these favourites go down like nine pins every day, Mido. But there's one that's been crunched in the market today, Boston.
Yeah, I know why. Go for it.
$1.28 into $1.18. Oklahoma City, $3.80 out to $5.20. That line's moved from 8 out to 11.
That's because Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, SGA, is out.
Out, yep. And the final one that's moved inwards or started to move inwards is New Orleans. It's the second last match for the day. Already 158 into 150. Orlando, 245 out to 265. And that line has gone from 4 out to 5.
Beautiful stuff, mate. Thanks so much.
See you, guys.
G'day, Josh. How are you?
Yeah, Loz. Good, thanks, guys. How are you?
Very well, mate.
You're over in Adelaide, Josh, or staying at home in Melbourne this weekend?
I'm staying at home in Melbourne this weekend, but I wouldn't mind being over there. It's the Festival of Footy. It looks like a cracking few days.
Yeah, the state has really taken it by storm, haven't they? It's a great concept, and playing in the Adelaide Hills, of course, as well at Mount Barker. But it also starts tonight. At Adelaide Oval, and what a crucial game this is for the Crows because, the pressure will be severely on, if it isn't already, if they get beat by a very good Melbourne side tonight. How do you see it playing out, Josh?
Yeah, isn't it? Must win for the Crows. I think it's going to be a hell of a game. I'm not sure I'd tip them, but having said that, it wouldn't surprise me. You know, I saw Matthew Nicks talking about it during the week on AFL 360, and what he was saying was spot on. Often, you know, it's you're not that far off. It can just be a little tweak here or there, or I don't know, having the gather round and the energy of the week to change the energy of the players. Just that tiny little bit, 1 or 2%, could make a huge difference, and everything can fall into place. So, you know, they were the number one scoring team last year, and they're really struggling to put the points on the board. But if they can get back to their best in that regard, I think they'll give Melbourne a shake. But it'd be a brave man to tip against the D's at the moment. They're playing good footy.
Yeah, and after three rounds, Fremantle taking on Carlton, two undefeated teams. I don't think anyone thought that may be the case, but here we are. Who do you like in this game?
Yeah, look, you know, if I look at this week's game, this is the one, this one and probably the one straight after are the two I'm really looking forward to most. Frio Carlton, look, I reckon at just over $2, I reckon Frio aren't a bad go. And the reason being that I just think their back line stacks up. I mean, Carlton's forward line's one of the best in the comp with Kerno and the guy down there, and Mackay.
Yep.
But with Pearce and Ryan as at Freo, I mean, if you saw them play last week, geez, they were just the absolute wall, great wall, not letting any goals through. So I reckon Freo's defence stacks up against Carlton, and it'll be a great sort of young midfield battle too in there as well with Cripps and Hewitt and Chera. And up against Brayshaw and Sarong and Fife. So that'll be a pretty interesting game to watch. But I think, you know, I think Freo could pinch that. It'll be a really close game. And then obviously the next one after that is Western Bulldogs Geelong.
Yeah.
And the reason I'm looking forward to that is because I'm just really not sure where the Bulldogs are at. I think their list is one of the best in the comp. And they can play some bloody good footy, but I'm just not sure. You know, they just don't instill me with a whole lot of confidence to produce it week in, week out. But I think the Cats, they're playing really good footy. Obviously, Grant Premiership winners 2 years ago. So I think it's going to be a great game to see where both teams are at, really, but in particular the Dogs.
What did Geelong do well, Josh? Because they haven't bottomed out at all. They've had all this success. It'll be there or thereabouts. And obviously, you know, premierships are good, but, you know, it's still to play finals footy and everything like that. But they just keep bouncing back. And I didn't think there'd be a chance at the comp this year, but, you know, the way they're playing, they might give it a shake.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what they do really well is just, I mean, they maintain a lot of their players, good players. They attract good players in. You know, it's the chicken on their egg. Because they're such a successful club, they attract a lot of good players in. And they really have a great style of play. You know, strong defence that sort of ignites their offence and their transition game. So, you know, they've been doing it for a very, very long time. But I just think, yeah, their sort of list makeup and ability to look ahead and long into the future with regards to their needs, position-wise and players-wise, and then being able to build a team around that. They've been doing it for a long, long time. An incredible club.
Sydney should beat the West Coast, shouldn't they? And this other game, GWS versus the Suns, how does that play out? But like that, I know you never underestimate an opponent, but the Swans should win, shouldn't they?
They should win. Yeah. They should win. It'd be a disaster if they didn't.
Yeah. What about the other game, GWS?
And the other game, I think the Giants, I think they'll be too strong too for Gold Coast. You know, they're flying at the moment, the Giants. Can't do much wrong. So, yeah, I think a lot of the other games, you know, I'd be pretty confident tipping. But the ones that I'm looking forward to and I'm most unsure about is that Freo Carlton, Doggies Geelong, and probably tonight, the Crows and the Ds.
The Brisbane Lions should get their first win of the season against North Melbourne tomorrow as well. They're 36.5-point favourites at the line for that one. But it is amazing, you know, you've seen it a lot throughout your career, Josh, that when you got high expectation about you, when it's not going well, stories beyond the actual, or beyond the team, or beyond the actual matches raise their head pretty quickly, and the club's been at pains for now. It feels like a week to point out that everything is fine in the playing group, despite what may or may not have happened on an end-of-season trip last year to the United States.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't know what more can be done. The club are adamant, aren't they? And they've, you know, reiterated the fact that they've spoken to the players, the leaders. Everyone seems on the same page, and obviously they've had an issue, but they've dealt with it. It's not affecting the on-field performance. So I'm in that camp. I think, you know, it's a bit of clickbait now, and it's obviously a great story, and everyone's intrigued as to what happened, what's happened. But you know, I think it can be, if they, with everything going on, they could probably use it to galvanise the side and really stick together. Hopefully, through this, you know, they've lost three games. Things can turn around pretty quickly. Again, I'll reiterate what Matthew Nicks said the other night. You know, you're never going that well, and you're never going that bad. And it can just be a couple, you know, one small thing here or there, or just a little bit of confidence if they get their win this week. You know, and they go again. They get on a run, and you know, they could easily win. You know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 on the trot if they get up and going. They play the way that they did. You know, their first half against Carlton in round one. If you forget, that wasn't that long ago, but geez, that first half against Carlton was dominant. So if they can find that confidence again and form, things can turn pretty quickly.
Yeah, like we say with all sports, and, you know, I've been involved in rugby league, it's amazing what a win does. The noise quietens 100%. Down and they move on to someone else.
Yeah, I mean, we were in that position back in 2017. We lost our first six games. And to just get over that hurdle of breaking the back of it, getting your first win, I mean, I just remember the feeling after the game, just a huge amount of relief.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we went on to win 14 in the next 16 games. So it can take a lot of pressure off. And Brisbane are a team that we know, you know, they've got the runs on the board over many years. And, you know, they get that spark back and they can cause some damage.
Thanks so much, Josh. Have a great weekend.
Good on you guys. You too.
Give us a call, 1353 53. On the text line 0419 767 272. Just some results. A reminder, those Premier League results this morning. And for the moment, Arsenal are back top of the league, although Liverpool play tomorrow. They beat Luton 2-0 this morning. Manchester City beat Aston Villa 4-1. Brentford and Brighton played out a scoreless draw. The A-League last night finished 1-1 over at HBF Park in the West. Perth Glory and Sydney FC. So 1-1, Joe Lolley opened the scoring. Sydney FC had teenager Jake Gerwood-Reich sent off, and the Glory equalised in the second half of that match. Just in the Indian Premier League overnight as well, in the cricket, the Kolkata Knight Riders posted 7 for 272. 7 for 272. And their opener, Sunil Nareen, 85 off 39 deliveries, clubs 7 sixes in that 85. And, some eye-watering bowling figures here. And Norkia, the South African quick, 4 overs, 3 wickets, but at 59 runs he conceded at 14.75 and over. Mitch Marsh took a wicket, 3 overs, 1 for 37. The Delhi Capitals, in response, fell 106 runs short, bowled out for 166 in the 18th over. And David Warner was bowled by Mitchell Stark for 18. Stark also got rid of Mitch Marsh. Marsh out for a duck. So Stark, 3 overs, 2 for 25 there for his victorious Kolkata Knight Riders in that match in the Indian Premier League last night. Just some other news around as well in basketball. The Sydney Kings, Brian Gorgian, well, he's taking the reins, but two-time champion Angus Glover, he still wants out. He's set to head to the Southeast Melbourne Phoenix. Reportedly had his issues with, well, the now sacked coach Mahmoud Abdel Fattah, and had a crack at a teammate, Jalen Adams, as well, in a loss to Illawarra in February. So he's been a bit restless, reportedly, over the course of the season, Angus Glover, and looks like he's headed to Southeast Melbourne. Just in the NBA as well, Miami Heat, Patty Mills. So in the last two games, hasn't played a minute, and they've had some players return from injury there at the Heat. So no minutes yesterday as they beat the Knicks, Miami, 109-99 as well. Just some other news around Loz. I saw Denny Widler's story on Nine News. We gave it a mention yesterday, but Denny went along with Peter Volandis, Andrew Abdo, Latrell Mitchell, Cody Walker. They flew to Moree yesterday as part of this, well, the New South Wales government's involved in this program, Project Pathfinder it is, as it works to find, you know, sort of pathways for at-risk young people across New South Wales. And we're seeing at the moment a lot of towns in New South Wales, you know, in the country, having issues with youth crime. And it's in Queensland as well.
Oh, it's
actually
everywhere.
As well.
You know, it's everywhere. And if we can help kids not commit those crimes, then we're doing a great thing. And I think Peter Volandi said it yesterday, if you stop one kid doing it, this has been a win. But well done to the South Sydney players for getting behind it. High-profile Indigenous players, Cody Walker and Latrell Mitchell. They do a lot in the communities, and they do a lot for youth in regional areas, and to try to get them to show there's a way forward, and try and continue to educate them on the benefits of getting an education and training and setting yourself goals, and if you want to achieve, then anything's possible, to stop them from doing the wrong thing. And I think they're to be applauded for that. And, you know, if they can stop crime happening in those regional areas because of what they do when they visit those areas and get them involved in other things rather than crime, they've done outstanding work.
Just the gathering last night, the boxing was named the gathering ahead of Gather Round. Loz was saying earlier this morning as well, if you missed it, opportunity, perhaps Magic Round fight night the night before Magic Round, the Thursday night in Brisbane. Well, they did it in Adelaide with a whole heap of former AFL players last night. Amongst those results, Mitch Robinson. Remember, Mitch Robinson played for Carlton and the Brisbane Lions. Yeah, he beat Kane Pettifer, former Richmond player. Nathan Brown beat Kane Corns via decision. Kane Corns looks fit, but Nathan Brown certainly a better boxer. Dane Swan beat his old teammate at Collingwood, Dale Thomas as well via decision. Anthony Rocker and Corey McKernan as well had a crack at each other. That fight was stopped in the second round, Rocker winning via TKO. So some past glories getting in the ring there last night as well, Loz.
You
switched it over and had a look,
didn't
you? I
did switch it over and had a look at a couple of the fights. You take it for what it is. They're not boxing matches per se. But there are a couple of old footy players getting in the ring, trying to show a bit of skill. And obviously they get fatigued a lot quicker than boxers do. But they're raising money for charity. And I think people like to see those type of novelty fights. So I think it'll work in rugby league. Well, we've seen it. Current players, former players jumping into the ring. And it might be something that they could add to the weekend up there in Brisbane for Magic Round. Obviously, they can't do it at short notice this year, but it might be something to look at next year on the Thursday night.
Maybe get Marlowe on the card. I was thinking of him yesterday. He was calling the races there at Newcastle. I wonder how he's going there, Marlowe.
Oh, he's going enormous, Marlowe.
Mm. Wait till he starts getting punched in the head in sparring.
But he's talking it up, so he's confident.
I'd just keep it all under wraps.
Oh, I would, but knowing Marlowe the way I do, in around his mates, he's very confident that he'll get the job done, regardless of who he takes on.
Well, he's got the right attitude.
That's never been an issue with Marlowe. Mm-hmm. He's got the right attitude when it comes to tipping. He's just confident, and you're just going hard. That's all you do.
What have we got on the text line here? I was going to read about the Titans. Let me find this. Yes, cheers. Morning, lads. Jamin from the sunny coast here. Love the show. Just want to know your thoughts on the Titans and how long they will persist with Dez. Cheers, boys. Well, you'd imagine that Dez Hasler will be given probably a lot of time to observe and make a lot of changes himself there at the club, I dare say, Loz. That's generally Dez's style. He likes to be likes to have a lot of control.
If you're employing a coach, did Dez sign a 2 or 3 year deal?
Need to check that.
So if he signs a 3 year deal, I think Dez would want to see improvement at the end of next year, because if they don't improve by the end of next year, he could be in a bit of trouble. But from what I've already seen this season, it's going to be a long year for them. They are now my favourites to get a wooden spoon.
I hate putting
that tag on anyone.
And the other interesting aspect will be the David Fifita situation, who I think can he'll give an indication by round 10 whether he wants to stay or go under his contract based on what occurred with Justin Holbrook.
It's not going to help if they're losing. Is it?
Not at all.
Like when you think that, do I want to stay here? It looks like a long rebuild if they're losing up until round 10. That might change his mind. But I think he's happy and he's settled on the Gold Coast. I don't think he'd want to move clubs at this stage with everything being equal. But you just never know what a losing environment may do to your confidence and then in turn what it does to your long-term future and whether you want to recommit to a club or not.
They've lost the one player they really couldn't afford to lose to. Their forward leader.
Oh, Tino, yeah. Yeah, he's a big loss.
And for Queensland, you mentioned this the other day.
I didn't
even consider that when it first
plays
occurred.
Big minutes, he's aggressive, carries the ball strongly. And not only him, they're missing Tom Gilbert. Jai Arrow's another one that would have been in and around that squad. Mm. So they're starting to lose some forwards, Queensland, which they can ill afford to lose. It's like anyone, you can't afford to lose your best players. But they always find a way, and that's what they've always told us and they've always done. So we'll see how they go.
We had Blocker on earlier, just among other rugby league news, with Jararea Hargreaves finishing up at the end of the year with the Roosters. Well, the club there, they'll be delighted that prop Terrell May, he's agreed to a 2-year extension. He was off contract at the end of this year, apparently has attracted heaps of interest as well. So yeah. Terrell May, one of the Mays, of course, his brother's playing there at Penrith, but he's going to stick, according to reports, with the Roosters.
Yeah. I thought the Roosters may have had a war chest at the end of this year. Because
Swalee leaving.
Well, Manu's leaving.
Manu.
I don't know about Anthony Tupou.
Daniel
Tupou. But he might be another. Or Hargreaves. They're guys that have been on decent money. So that'd be... If four of them go. Like Angus Crichton, I think, is off contract as well.
Yes.
So, well, that's a lot of money. But I know that you've got to upgrade and extend other players, but I thought they might have had a bit of money. I wonder if they're a smoky for Zach Lomax.
Never rule them out, can you?
Oh, you'd never rule them out. But, I mean, if they've got the money, they might make a play for him. Mm. That'd be the only thing holding them back, I assume. But, as I said, Tupou, if he goes, Manu, Swalee, Crichton, Wirra Hargreaves all leave, you'd have to think they'd have some money there somewhere.
John Fazit Wingham says, "Hi guys, you were talking earlier about Magic Round being there being no Thursday night game. I'm going up with my son. We're going to the Women's Origin Thursday night.
Women's Origin, course, they're playing that there this year, right? Because there's three games this year.
There is. Common sense has prevailed there. I know there's a game in Newcastle as well." For Origin this year. So, Women's Start of Origin this year. So, just get on the... Yeah, the first game is at Suncorp, May 16, which I'm guessing is... That sounds right. May 16, that would be Thursday.
Because they play on the 17th. The Raiders play the Bulldogs on the 17th.
Yes, which is your reunion. Okay, yep. May 16, Women's Origin. First Women's Origin, okay. Mm. And the second game is June 6 at Newcastle. And then the third game is June 27, and that's at Townsville, Queensland Country Bank Stadium. So that's the Women's Origin schedule for this year. Steve Hewlett, a very good morning. How are you?
I'm really well, Jared. I can't wait for this big day on Saturday at Randwick. It's going to be a cracker. Look, we're going to grab Denny Williams at the start of the show in a few minutes just to get the latest if this horse is actually going to run Bandy's Boy, the 250 favourite with Tab to win the country championship. So Denny Williams will join me. We'll also talk about Johnny Rocker. What about him last start? He was 120s into 70s, and he ran a 10-time Group 1 winner to less than a half a length in a Group 1 at Moonee Valley. He's an ex-Queenslander. It's a really interesting story. We're going to catch up with the principal owner of Johnny Rocker, who runs against Imperatriz again in Sydney on the weekend. We're also going to talk to Harry Troy about Macau Racing shutting down, of course, their last meeting last weekend. And we're going to tell you about a very emotional story. I spoke to the trainer yesterday, and even when I was talking to him, he started crying on the phone about a horse that's one of the major fancies in the provincial championship final at Randwick on Saturday week. So I'm looking forward to that interview this morning as well. But lots of other news.
Okay, great stuff. And Dave told us yesterday, it's been money for Johnny Rocker.
The owners like a bet, and they said they got 120s last start because Nick Ryan thought he wasn't the worst. And he was brilliantly ridden. He tracked Imperatriz. And on the line, he actually ran the fastest last 600 in the race. He went a slightly faster last 600 than Imperatriz. But what do you do on the weekend? He went up 31 ratings points from that effort. Incredible.
Okay. We'll catch you, Steve.
Thanks,
busy show ahead coming up on Radio Tab this morning. And joining us here in the studio is none other than Dave Stanley. How are you, DS?
Hello, Jared. Very good to see you. Good to see you, Loz.
DS, what's the news?
Big show.
Any rain outside yet?
No, but very dark clouds.
Right. Ominous, doesn't it?
Very dark clouds.
Had a look at the window.
I spoke with Helen Reeve from the Bureau yesterday.
I heard that yesterday.
Wasn't that interesting what they said about the... When we see 25 to 90, that's obviously, you know...
It's going to rain.
Some parts 25, some parts 90. Well,
but one thing I took from that interview, she did say, look, there's going to be a lot of rain. Yes. We're just unsure of how much and where it's going to be. Mm. But...
Well, rain at my joint yesterday, but I just saw the report from Randwick. No rainfall last 24 hours.
Hasn't rained over there. And zilch. I'm only a stone's throw from the track. Hasn't rained. Yeah. So today we're going to chat on the Sydney ACT Racing HQ with Darren Beedman. So Godolphin, I got some good chances, plus also the Doncaster. The Dazzler's had some great success in the past. Probably Superimpose would be the one when he darted up the inside that everyone thinks of and loves. I do have to mention as well the terrible news that came out of the nation's capital.
So sad.
So we're going to chat with Rob Archibald this morning. That the Annabelle Neesham Racing Team, very, very sad with the passing of Stefano. Brett Robb will join us, Matt Dunn, Tim Ryan we're going to chat to, and also Lyle Chandler. So we've got a big show lined up this morning. Hopefully we can try and find your winner, but also, as I said, the thoughts of everyone here at the radio station and Sky for that young man that passed away late last night.
23 years old, isn't it? And that was the four with Jeff Penzer and Sean Geimer as well.
Right.
And they walked away. But yeah, that news came through yesterday, and you know his parents, who is Italian, who's been living in the UK and riding in the UK, and Annabelle and her team got her out to do some riding for him only at the start of this year.
Yeah,
you know, you head to Canberra for a couple of rides or a ride there, you come off, and you know, to end up in intensive care, your parents fly out, you buy your bed. His girlfriend, I see, is Kieran Fallon's daughter.
Yes.
Has flown out as well, and unfortunately, well, I mean, just the saddest story. 23 years of age, and as we mentioned earlier this morning, you know, condolences to everyone concerned, family, friends. I'm not sure Annabelle and her team, I know you're going to speak to Rod, they'll be just absolutely devastated as well, and again, just a stark reminder, and I know this hits all the jockeys hard, and, you know, every time they go to the races, every time they go to work, they have this risk.
Mm.
And it is just awful. So we certainly you know, send our condolences again to everyone concerned. We are on Weather Watch, though, and we'll see, as far as Randwick is concerned, what does come. But, you know, let's try and take the glass half full approach with Saturday, Dave. I'm trying to convince him for the last 3 days.
I'm not as sure as Middo. But
because
I'm
seen this
probably pessimistic. Middo's very optimistic.
You got it, mate. I'm going to get stuck in here. So
will,
what?
Will you do your form then on a good track? You do your form on a good track.
Were you glass half full when you were down 2-0 in a series or 1-0?
No.
You need to fire up. Like I said to you yesterday or the day before, you're going to find winners, even if it's a wet track. It's not going to deter you from going and having a good time.
No, it won't deter me from having a punt on Saturday.
So
But what I'm saying is, like, I can rule out a lot of horses, I reckon.
It makes a job easier.
Yeah.
What I need you to do is, you've got to remember, there's so many people that listen to you, right, have watched you play, coach, sit here in this chair, right?
Bag me, yeah.
Bag you.
Yeah.
But they need your energy. They don't want to wake up at 5:30 and hear a flat daily.
No, I know.
They want to hear a fired up daily because they want to run through brick walls.
Yeah.
Grubb talks about it all the time.
Didn't Dean Ritchie send you some nasty messages this morning? I was on this message.
The bullfrog.
Oh, the bullfrog, yeah.
I'm listening W's.
Call me a wanker.
Did he?
Yeah.
From Dino?
Yeah.
Jeez. What was in that reference to?
Oh, I was just hammering his get rid of the kick.
Was it exclusive? Oh, I didn't hear it.
Well,
I heard that.
Well, you're the common man who loves your footy. All right? So just from that perspective, just a footy watcher.
Yep.
Lover of the game, getting rid of the kickoff.
Oh. Imagine in Origin. Just start this game with a 20-metre tap.
Ridiculous. And honestly, that's the whole...
Seriously.
Mate, that contact, that's what Origin's built on. If you look at those shots, some of those promo shots, that initial contact, that first hit up, you know...
Yeah. Bulldog wants to take it away.
That's what we sold to America. We sold that to America in Vegas, the collisions. Anyway...
Isn't that the irony of it, though?
That's
actually
what I mean. We sold the collision.
There
we
went
away
over to Vegas. Oh, no, you know,
he wants it out of the game.
Watch all the contact we have. You guys will love us bashing each other.
What was his motivation for getting out of the game?
Oh, someone got... young Preston got knocked out on the weekend.
Okay, so it was... Yeah.
Yeah. So he thinks that it should be eliminated from the game.
Well, we sold... That was the whole point of going to... That was one of our selling points of going to America.
Yeah. And the irony of that is, Dave, that there's more knockouts when teams are 10 metres apart in the defensive line. You'll see more knockouts out of that during the season than what you would off kickoffs. Now, I know that there's more tackles during the game, so you're more likely to get an outcome, but it doesn't matter how far you're apart. if your head gets in the wrong position, you're exactly. going to cause a concussion.
Exactly.
So, have you heard from Pup?
I have, actually. Yeah. I heard from him. Yeah, he's going all right over there.
Yeah, yeah.
He's going good. He
I sent him a happy birthday message.
Yeah.
He gave me a thanks, bro.
I sent him all. Well, I sent him I sent him the happy birthday message, and he said, look out when I'm back.
Mm.
That's what he said.
Right.
So
jeez.
He's over there. Where can I watch the IPL, by the way? Because the internet at his joint's no good, so I hope they've got better internet at the stadiums.
I don't know. We thought we were getting him on this morning, but we couldn't.
We tried. His name appeared on our phone system here, and then it disappeared. Like it's like a UFO, just Gonski's.
I wouldn't mind hearing his thoughts on some of those who he thinks, because we're obviously. I think we're betting on the IPL, the different form lines.
I want to ask him about this young bowler. You know his name,
Mayank.
He's regularly bowling at 150 clicks. And he bowled a ball the other day at nearly 156.
Wow.
So he's
Can you watch it on Fox? 21. It'll be on Fox,
it's on Fox
Cricket.
Cricket.
On Fox Cricket.
Yeah. See, it's terrible time for us. It's
How do you reckon he'd go? Well, I mean, he's travelling in style over there. But we've seen him travel when we go to places like Wagga, Albury,
Scone. He takes
Scone.
His own stuff.
He does. Yeah. He likes to pack his own... his own...
What?
Just a memory?
Yeah. Like, you know, he'll pack his own tissues and you know, he'll take... Everything. Bed linen, etc. So how would he go heading over there? And the other thing as well I want to ask him about is obviously the popularity. Because he's obviously when we've been travelling places, people will swarm him.
Usain Bolt.
And he just does a bolt. Over there, he'd be more well known.
He wouldn't get through.
Well, he'd be more well known there than here, surely.
Oh, most definitely. He's not going to get through an airport.
That's what I mean.
A hotel foyer.
So I'd love to actually be a fly on the wall and watch the Pupster in action, signing the autographs, getting the photos. It would be a sight to see, boys.
Wouldn't it what?
Getting into the black Audi out of the airport.
100. That was honestly, I know we're 9 o'clock, but we pull up at Albury Airport, Laurie and I. Laurie's having a chat with some people, and there was a gentleman there who went up to Michael and said, hey, Pup, how you going, mate? Well, this gentleman worked for the Albury Race Club, was meant to take us. He was a champion. But Pup thought he wasn't with the Albury Race Club. He was just wanting to hand him about some cricket. So I've never seen a bloke move quicker.
But straight into the dark car.
Straight
as well.
Into a dark car with tinted windows. It'd be the only tinted Audi on Q7 going around Albury. And off he went. And then we saw him the next morning. See you, boys.
Thank you, Dave.
Disguise.